We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God of all eternity, you have ordained this very moment that we might sing your praise, that we might hear your word and be filled with your grace. Bless us, enrich us, draw us ever closer to you through the power of your holy word, that we may for all time and all eternity sing your unending praise. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. I noticed an announcement online, an advertisement for mountain hiking. I thought, oh, that sounds like something fun to do. Maybe we could get a whole church group to do it. Maybe we could all do it together as a church function. What do you think? One stuck out for me that I wanted to share with you. It's a jogging up Long's Peak in Colorado. The ad goes like this. With its summit topping out at an elevation of 14,259 feet, Long's Peak is among the tallest peaks in the Rocky Mountains. You can easily see it for miles in every direction, towering above the rest of the park. The trip takes us through a series of camps, drawing us closer to striking distance of Long's Peak. On day three, we'll go for it, and weather permitting, make an attempt for the summit. This route is not for the faint of heart. The summit bid involves steep, exposed scrambling and hiking across boulder fields, snowbanks, and steep side slopes. We'll enjoy the summit's 100-mile view for a half hour or so before turning around and returning to camp. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? I think we should all go for it. We could have one big congregational outing. Wouldn't that be fun? What? You think I'm a little old for that? Really? What? You think I'm a little out of shape for that? Oh, come on. Really? Well, it is nice to know that you don't want me dying out there on Long's Peak somewhere. But I have yet another idea. There's actually another mountain to climb. It's even higher than Long's Peak, and even pudgy old pastors can navigate it. It's a mountain of God's making that towers above all the other mountains in the face of the earth. And God invites us to come and journey with him, to walk with him up the mountain of the Lord to the very temple of the Lord. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." Doesn't that sound like fun? Isaiah says, "In the last days." Well, Scripture in the Old Testament, when it refers to last days, it's talking about those days between the Messiah coming and saving us from our sins and his final return. We are living in the last days. And so in these last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills. Now, to walk up Mount Jerusalem is quite a hike. That will exhaust someone. And yet here, Isaiah is not referring to Jerusalem. Because, see, the temple no longer exists in Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself is but a faint shadow of its former glory. Jerusalem is not the place where God now comes from heaven and meets face to face with his people. It used to be, but is no more. But there still is a holy place to meet with God, a temple which endures. A glorious mountain, a holy mountain where God calls us to come into his presence. Let's go up to the mountain of God. See his holy temple. Oh, to make that our life's journey. Meet the Lord on his holy mountain. But if we're going to meet the Lord on his holy mountain, we best get going. He's coming soon. You need to hurry up because like the crack of lightning, just that quickly, he will appear. Just like he says at Noah's day. Jesus will return and people will be clueless, unprepared, sleeping in their faith. For 120 years, Noah was building the ark and warning the people, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. But they refused to believe that the Lord was coming to judge the world. They didn't repent. They were comfortable in their lives and didn't want anything to rock the boat. They were just going to live on as they had kept on living on and on, more and more the same. Do people today realize that Jesus is coming in judgment? Do you? A rather sobering thought. Noah, just like any of the other citizens of his day and age, he ate and drank and gave his children over into marriage and carried on with the normal everyday activities. But with Noah, everything he did with a hammer in his hand. Always in eager anticipation, he lived each day remembering God's word. God had promised them 120 years and I will be coming. I wonder if Noah took a chalk and marked on the side of the ark every New Year's Eve, slowly counting down to 120. He was not going to forget God's promise and fall asleep in his faith. No. He knew the Lord was coming. He trusted that the Lord was coming with a flood of judgment. And with all of his heart and soul, he wanted his ark to be finished and ready and waiting for the Lord's return. Are we that prepared? Paul's letter to the Romans speaks even more powerfully to us now these 2,000 years later than it ever did to the Romans. He writes, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Serious. Noah didn't build the ark by day and then go out and cheat on his wife and swindle his neighbor and beat his children during the night. No, his whole life was consumed by the word of God and the promise of his arrival. If we are serious about climbing the mountain of God and meeting with our Lord, we need to travel lightly, taking with us only the bare essentials. We need to let go of our baggage. What is it that wears us down, that drains our strength, that robs us of any joy in this world? Is it not our own sins? Our own fears? Our own doubts? It's like carrying a sack of rocks on our back day after day when we think about and dream of all those forbidden things. As we plot and scheme how we're to get what doesn't belong to us. As we live with that bone-chilling guilt that we have been wicked. And we deserve only God's wrath. Fear, too, is like living in a cave. Instead of being set free by our Lord, we are captive to our past memories. Filled with fear, afraid of the bats of our past and the winds of our future. Oh, what's going to happen to us? And no matter what is happening, we can find something to be afraid of because we need to be afraid. That's our sin that we so enjoy. And all sins end up leading to doubts. Oh, Satan is so quick to whisper in our ear, did God really say you are to be at peace? In doubt, we shake our heads and, well, I'm not sure he ever said it. And if he ever said it, he probably didn't mean it for me. If we truly want to live our lives in our sin, in our fear, in our doubts, well, then we're not ready to meet the Lord or to climb up on his mountain. No. Then we are earthbound. We're in the valley of death. And what awaits us is hell. Then we'll be much like the people at Noah's day. Judgment will come, and we will be so surprised that God has truly fulfilled his word, and we'll be swept away in his terror. Let go of your baggage. Repent of your sins. Trust in God's forgiveness and in his holy adoption. Do not simply just repeat the life your earthly parents have modeled for you. Live for something better. Be transformed by your heavenly Father. He's the one who wants you to come up on his mountain and into a deeper relationship with him. Walk in the light of the Lord. Ultimately, why do people go hiking up in the mountains? The life-changing view is worth it all. To stand out there, imagine yourself standing on the top of Long's Peak, looking out over the world. Your eyes would be straining to drink in all the marvelous sights that you can see no place else. How grand it would be. You're standing so high, it feels as though you could grab a cloud and then spread out beneath you. For hundreds of miles are mountains and valleys and forests and rivers. Truly breathtaking. You can end up feeling so small. A mere speck on the top of the mountain, and yet so big. As you stand on top of the world, looking out at all of the creation. Wow. And for the rest of your life, those memories will change, shape, flavor, everything else in your life. How you view work, or play, or your family, or life itself. When God takes us up to his mountain, oh, you will see the very mind and heart of the Almighty God. Like a valley stretched out so far as the eye can see, God will show you how high and wide and deep his love is for you. And totally rapture you in that love. On his majestic mountain, your eyes will behold not just creation and all of its beauty, but to witness the power and wisdom and glory of the Creator of everything. God will lay bare his deepest mysteries. How did God become a human being? How do those two things exist in one person? Wow. And why would Jesus become one of us? What would move the Father so strongly that he would punish his Son for our filth and vile lives? deep mysteries that go beyond this world. What does it mean for you and me to now stand holy before the Almighty God, His holy children in His presence? God's love for you is higher than the Rocky Mountains and deeper than the Grand Canyon. It's almost beyond our ability to fathom, and yet He reveals it and fills us with it. The beauty of God is truly life-changing. As we gaze upon our Savior, He fills us with love and joy that we've never known, peace and patience that are beyond humans, and wisdom and strength that comes only from God. Wow. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. But where? Where is this mountain? Where is this light of the Lord that we might walk in it? Where do we meet God? And how can we sit with our Savior? How does that happen? Well, He's no further away than His Word. And to find Him, to commune with Him, you only will do that through His Word. And you will only find His Word in His church. As much as the world would like to destroy God's Word and His church, God raises it up higher than ever in these last days, lifts it above all enemies, preserves and protects it, and calls all nations to His glorious Word, to His church. Why? If God asked us to walk 100 miles in the wilderness, we would do it if it meant spending time with our Savior. And yet, how simply and profoundly God asks us to simply just listen to Him. How He takes us into Himself through His Word and sacraments. There are His temple and His mountain, in His holy Word. There is the opportunity to read a book of the Bible you've never read before, to attend a Bible class you've never attended before, to make your decision as you journey up this mountain that there will not be a weekend that I am not in worship. For above all else, I yearn to be with my Lord, to ready my heart and my soul to welcome my Jesus on His return. But then the question comes, do we want Him in you? Do you want you in Him? One thing struck me as very odd with the advertisement for Long's Peak, besides the impossibility of me ever doing that. And the thing that struck me is that you go through all that expense and time and you get to spend a half an hour on the summit. You climb all the way up there, and you only get a half an hour? Wow, I think I'd want to spend the whole day, maybe a week, maybe a lifetime. The air is kind of thin up there. That would be impossible. That kind of glory we can only take a half an hour at a time. But notice what the Lord does. The Lord takes us by the hand. He walks us up His mountain. He fills us with all of His glory, and He allows us to stay there until Jesus returns. What a glorious place of peace and tranquility to be on the mountain with the Lord. Well, we better get going. There's so much to take in, to see, to do, to read, learn, and inwardly digest all of God's Word from cover to cover, and to see what heights He lifts us to as He transforms us from within and without through the power of His holy word, opening up a whole new life to us. It's interesting, there weren't too many people sitting outside Bethlehem's manger waiting for the Savior to be born. And there weren't very many people waiting outside of Jesus' tomb for Him to rise from the dead. And Jesus Himself posed the question, will there be anyone with faith by the time I return? Will there? Now is the time to fill our hearts with His word. Now is the time for our life to be aglow in His glory, for our eager anticipation to move us, compel us to walk on the mountain of the Lord with our Savior and to hear every word that comes from His mouth. Now is the time that He might fill us with the joy of singing His praises as we eagerly anticipate His arrival. Let's meet the Lord on His holy mountain. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, You have orchestrated our lives that You might draw us ever deeper into Yourself. Work in us through the power of Your word, dear Lord, as You reveal Your grace and goodness, Your truth and wisdom. May it have a profound effect on us and not be wasted on us. In this day and in this hour, dear Lord, work in us that we might be aglow in Your grace and goodness and crave evermore to know our God. Bless us and strengthen us that we might sing Your praise for time and eternity. In Christ our Savior, amen.